And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross, and I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are living
the dream.
We're living the dream here in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, we are.
Man, the weather was a little windy this week.
It was windy. My allergies got a little funky this week, Fred.
Yeah,
how about yours?
So did mine. A little stuffy.
Right.
But you know, got chilly.
No, we were talking about your allergies, not your attitude.
My attitude is snuffy.
I thought you said stuffy.
Oh, I did, probably. So my attitude is stuffy?
I'm just teasing you.
Oh.
Brother, little brother's prerogative. Tease the old kid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't defend myself. I'm totally defenseless.
I know.
So, you know, this is a beautiful week. It cooled down. It's just gorgeous.
It is nice.
And I was hoping for a little bit of rain, and we'll see.
Mostly not.
I'm still open.
Yeah, hope away, Fredo. I live in the Sonoran Desert, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been a little bit dry. But let me tell you something. I am so excited. This week had a lot of fun. Went on a full moon hash, which is, we have a running club that, somebody lays a trail and you follow the trail around and get lost and have fun.
It's a running club with a drinking problem or a drinking club with a running problem?
Drinking club with a running problem.
There you go.
But that was a lot of fun. And I actually got to ride the coattails of our webmaster, George Jensen.
George runs?
No. Something else.
Oh.
GeorgeJensen.com. This is how good this guy is. This is how glad I am that he is our webmaster.
Are we getting paid?
Yeah, we are. No, we're paying him, actually.
Uh-huh.
We're paying him in cigars from Anthony's. But he actually helped install this really cool little kiosk thing that's going in at the new zoo exhibit down at Reed Park Zoo. And it shows a 10,000-pound elephant.
Right.
And then you get on a scale... And you compare your weight to the elephant, and it's a 10,000-pound elephant, picture of an elephant, a silhouette. You stand on the scale, and it's sort of like water rising in the silhouette. It shows you, like...
So you weigh as much as the elephant's left foot.
Exactly.
God, that's
it is
very
so cool.
That is cool.
So when this exhibit opens, and we're actually going to be having the folks on from the Zoological Society talking about that big day, and that's towards the end of this month. Actually, I think it's in a week, but they're going to have little interactive stuff, just, you know, fun. Speaking of fun things in Tucson.
Yeah, by the way, let's tell people who we are.
Well, this is the Fred and Jeff Show. I already did that at the beginning of the show. This is Fred, and you're Jeff.
Right, then you're listening to the show that talks about all the great people, places, events, the history, the music.
Culture
in Tucson and Southern Arizona.
And if you want to...
And you're here with your intrepid Fred Ronstadt's... well, you're the Honorable Fred Ronstadt, right?
I am the Honorable, yeah.
And I'm his brother Jeff, and...
And you're just Jeff.
And I'm just Jeff. And well, that's not true. I'm Jeff, the businessman, small businessman. So we got a lot of good things to talk to you folks today.
And if you want to hear some of these fun shows, go to www.fredandjeff.com.
That's right.
We also have a weekly newsletter if you want to know what's coming up on the show. If you see our advertisers, we might have some coupons every once in a while for them.
Fun stuff.
But send us an email at fred@fredandjeff.com, and we'll put you on the newsletter list.
Right.
And also, stay tuned, because we're going to be giving out a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield Florist, and it's a trivia question. So something we talk about on the show, whether it's, you know, Jeff.
Or Fred and the elephants.
Or something.
Something fun.
Something we'll ask it towards the end of the show, and you'll get a chance to win a dozen roses from Mayfield. Now, there are a lot of stuff going on in Tucson. Our friends at the Metropolitan Visitors and Convention Bureau, if you go to the website, visittucson.org, they have an event calendar. Just a couple things coming up this week. The Great Gatsby at Arizona Theater Company plays through the end of through Saturday, March 17th. And also on March 17th, which is Jeff... What day is March 17th?
And St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day.
I think you're trying to trick me there.
No. The 25th annual St. Patrick's Day parade.
The Redhead Parade.
And you're part of the Redhead Parade.
Well, I'm a redhead, but I don't know if I'll be in the parade.
Well, it's happening downtown Tucson.
Very cool.
So Saturday night, there's a big parade. If you go to visit our friends at Tucson Downtown the Downtown Tucson Partnership. What?
Keep going. I'm enjoying listening to your stumbling. Go.
Yeah. If you
Downtown Tucson Partnership.
If you use the Google on the interweb, you will find the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and they'll tell you all the details about the 25th annual St. Patrick's Day Parade. Now, this is really cool, Jeff, and it's happening at the end of the month. The Tucson Museum of Art annual Crush Parties.
Yes. Now, that is a lot of fun.
There's actually three things. First, they have Mondays at the Museum, which sort of leads up to the Crush. And that is on March 26th. There's a wine tasting and a tour of the museum. So you get some wine. They take you on a tour of the museum, show you the art. Really cool. On the 30th is the Crush Party. And it's P-A-R-T-E.
P-A-R-T-E?
P-A-R-T-Y. Or P-A-R-T-Y, party. But art is part of the party.
Oh, part E. Very nice.
Art E. It's the Crush Party. And it's at the Tucson Museum of Art Courtyard. They're going to have 150 wines, food from some of the greatest restaurants in the city of Tucson, and a silent auction full of art pieces and all sorts of things.
You can take home. That's great.
That's right. And then the next day is the Crush Gala. And there's no art in gala. But there will be art at the gala, and that's on Saturday the 31st, and that's in Ventana Canyon, and there's going to be food, wine.
It's actually in the canyon?
Well, in the resort at the canyon.
Ah.
Los Ventana Canyon Resort.
Yes, very good.
So we have a little plug for our friends at the Los Ventana Canyon Resort.
Very nice place to go.
So there will be food, wine, and there will be a live auction where you can, you know, bid on
the big ticket stuff.
Yeah, and take that home.
The stuff that you really want to put over the fireplace.
That's right. And for all other sorts of events, go to fredandjeff.com. Check on click on the upcoming events button, and it'll take you to the
upcoming
events
site. Yeah. and away you go.
So right after this break, we're going to be talking with our guests, but stick around and you're going to really enjoy the show.
Yep.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Major League Soccer is coming to Kino Stadium February 22nd through March the 3rd. New England Revolution, Real Salt Lake, the New York Red Bulls, and Los Angeles Galaxy meet to play in the FC Tucson Visser Diamond Cup. All four dates in this tournament are doubleheaders featuring stars like Kyle Beckerman, Charlie Joseph, Landon Donovan, Thierry Henry, and David Beckham. Mark your calendars. It all starts Wednesday, February 22nd. Tickets are now on sale online at fctucson.com or call 520-334.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Hi, I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
More of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
All right, welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And, you know, we've talked about this on the show before because Jeff and his family are going through, well, the whole family is going through a significant event in all of our lives. His son was diagnosed with leukemia right between Christmas and New Year's.
Right. And those of you that have listened to the show the last couple of months, you've heard me talk about, you know, we've talked about the Beads of Courage folks, and we've talked about, I've been on the Dave Sitton Cancer Fighter show talking about, you know, kind of what it is, you know, it's kind of a punch in the stomach when one day you're hopping along doing great and you've got the world by the tail, and the next day someone tells you that your 7-year-old son has got a life-threatening disease. It's quite an adventure. But as Fred and I sit around every week and we talk about the shows that we want to do and the people that we want to introduce you all to, you know, we've had historians and musicians and nonprofits, and we've had deans of the university, you know, Joaquin Ruiz. We've had just all kinds of people on the show to demonstrate to you how great of a city we have, and the people in our community are fabulous. And one of those groups of people we would have never, ever, ever, ever gotten to know unless, you know, until Larry was diagnosed with leukemia. And those people are the child life specialists at University Medical Center. And I have to tell you, folks, when we went in to UMC and Larry was diagnosed with advanced lymphoblastic leukemia, we didn't know what to do. We were so ill-prepared to hear that news. And my wife and I are pretty strong people, and we consider ourselves to be pretty good parents. But there's nothing, whether it was our faith in God or our community or our family that you know, helped us deal with this. And then one day, in walks this young lady who turned our life around pretty much, and she's a child life specialist. And so let us tell you a little bit about these child life specialists. They are folks that work at the University Medical Center. Actually, they work all over the country. There's an organization called the Child Life Council. And if you go to childlife.org, you can read all about these folks. But their mission is to serve the child life professionals as they empower children and families to master challenging life events. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about that. And on the phone with us today...
Let's have them talk about it.
Yeah, on the phone with us today are two of the child life specialists at University Medical Center. We've got Heather Roberts and Amy Rothenberg. And Amy, you're with us right now, right?
I am. Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thanks for asking.
Of course.
And Amy, introduce yourself to our listeners.
Let's just do the technical aspect first.
Oh, sure.
You know, typically we have guests in studio with us so we can talk to them. They can be here and we can, you know, give them Valium and calm them down and everything.
Right.
But these ladies work a lot with the kids, with the family. So they're actually over at University Hospital. We're doing this by the phone. So
because you guys are pretty, I mean, before you came on the phone to talk to us and after you get off the phone with us, you're going back to work.
We are.
And
we've got kids to see, kids to play with.
Right. And that's the amazing part of your job. So tell our listeners exactly what a child life specialist does.
All right. So as child life specialists, we provide psychosocial support to kids and their families in the hospital. So I know that's a big word.
Yeah, that's a big... What is psychosocial? What does that mean?
So basically, we make it easier for kids to be here in the hospital. And so we try to make sure that all of our patients understand exactly what's happening while they're here. We do a lot of education with our kids on procedures that they may have while they're here, or on certain illnesses or disease or injury that they might have while they're here. So they know exactly what's going on. We don't want any surprises for them. And then we also do what we call normalizing the environment. So we work really hard to make sure that the hospital is fun and child-friendly. And so we bring in special visitors and pet therapists, and we have playrooms on every floor, and we have volunteers who play at patient bedside with our kids. And then, of course, we are going around to all of our patient rooms too, to play board games and do art projects. And we just want to make sure that, you know, kids can still be kids while they're here in the hospital.
And let's talk about that. You know, I would venture to guess that the vast majority of the children that come to your hospital have no idea why they're there. I mean, you've got kids ranging from infants, babies, all the way to
the older kids may know, but they don't understand the scope of
why they're there.
Exactly. And even if they say they know, you know, they may have had a friend who had leukemia, but they don't know exactly what that means. They don't know what's going on in their body, and they don't know what procedures lie ahead and, you know, treatment options and all of that. And so that's kind of where we come in.
So let me ask you a question, because I've seen you do this, and it's an amazing thing. How do you describe what leukemia is to a 7-year-old child?
You know, I'm actually going to pass the phone off to Heather, because she works with that population a little bit more.
Oh, well, wait a minute. That's something I didn't know.
Yeah.
You have separate populations you all specialize in?
Yes. Yeah, so we, over here at UMC, I think they do it differently, you know, at each hospital. But we are unit specific here at UMC. And so I work in radiology and in the general pediatric unit. And so I don't deal a lot with kids who have leukemia and all of the other cancers. But Heather works in the ICU, and she does a lot with the oncology kids. So.
What kind of kids, what do the kids have that you typically work with?
Well, so I work with a lot of the kids who are recovering from surgery, or, you know, might have a really bad, you know, flu or RSV. It is RSV season, so we have a lot of that right now. But as far as more chronic illnesses, we work with kids who have cystic fibrosis, and we work with kids who have diabetes. And then we have a lot of the kids who maybe have gone through, you know, a history of heart surgeries, and, you know, they're not sick enough to land in the PICU, but we can take care of them here in the general pediatric unit.
And when you talk about kids, give me the age range.
So we do work with kids from 0 to 18.
18 years old.
Mm-hmm, that's correct, yeah.
And are there a lot of kids in your program?
Yes, on my floor right now, we are completely full. And so that means that we have 36 kiddos here today, just on my floor in general pediatrics alone.
That's amazing. All the time. So are you pretty much full all the time?
We are pretty much full all the time. Yeah, it gets a little bit, you know, it's a little bit seasonal. So during the winter, we definitely have, you know, more colds and flus and respiratory stuff. But we are pretty busy most of the year.
So give our listeners an idea of, if you've got a kid who's had multiple heart operations, what kind of games can you play with that little kid, or what can you do with that child to help them understand exactly what it is that they're going through?
Well, so we do a lot of medical play with the children that we have in the hospital.
Medical play?
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
And so that means that we allow the children to become the doctor. Most of the time when they're in the hospital, you know, they have doctors and nurses working with them and doing things to them. And so all of the procedures are, you know, done to them, and they're a passive recipient in those experiences. But when we do medical play or doctor play with our kids, we allow them to be doctor. So they're actually, you know, listening to a doll with a stethoscope, and they're the ones starting the IVs on the dolls. And so that really helps them to kind of gain control over the experience, to maybe ask questions that they hadn't asked before. And it really empowers them to take an active role in their hospitalization and their, you know, care here at the hospital, rather than just that passive one that a lot of kids, you know, have to go through when they're here.
Well, it takes being scared out of the equation, doesn't it?
It does, because we do medical play in a very non-threatening environment. So we're just having fun. You know, we might do it in the playroom or, you know, in bed with a child. And so they're really, you know, just having a good time, and it's really play. It really has nothing to do with, you know, something scary.
All right. Everybody that we've talked to as we've gone through what we're going through says that one of the most critical things is to keep a positive attitude.
I think that's true.
And you help those kids keep positive attitudes.
We do. I think, you know, when they're diagnosed with something, or when there's a scary procedure, you know, that's about to happen, we really try to talk to them and, you know, teach them coping skills so that they kind of, you know, can take control and have a plan of how to get through that procedure. So we might talk about, you know, do you want to sit on your mom's lap, or do you want to sit on the bed by yourself? Do you want to hold mom's hand? Do you want to blow bubbles? Do you want to look at a book? And just making those decisions can help children feel in control And then we also talk to kids, you know, you can get through this. I know you can do it no matter how hard it is. And so we're really helping them to, you know, keep that positive attitude. When kids are here for a long time, I think it can be really hard. They can start to lose that positive attitude. And so we're really here just to remind them to keep it. And also families as well and siblings, you know, being in the hospital and, you know, cancers and leukemias and all the other chronic illnesses, they really affect families. So we work a lot with siblings and with parents, too, to keep that positive attitude.
Well, that's something that I want to, and we'll explore that a lot more in the second part of the show, is the siblings and the family and how they deal with a child having an illness, whether it's, you know, whether it's a short-time illness, like maybe, you know, respiratory infection or something that's going to be lifelong. How you guys deal with the siblings and the families to help them all feel like they're part of the solution and they're positive and everybody's working on the same page? Because I know a lot of times, you know, people come in and they have no idea what's going on. And maybe sometimes the staff, though as well-meaning as they can be, they've done it so many times, they just assume or they figure that somebody said something to somebody. And oftentimes the families don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
And you guys are there to kind of pick that slack up a little bit in different ways, whether it's playing with the kids or bringing in your dolls or something we're going to talk to Heather in a little bit about blood soup, to help people understand what's going on and the course of treatment and to help those little people have to empower them in their treatment. Is that that's kind of the the hallmark of child play is empowering those kids.
It really is.
That's great. That's very great. Heather, Amy.
That's okay.
How did you get involved? How did you become a child life specialist?
So I knew when I was in college that I wanted to work with kids and I wanted to work in the hospital setting. That was just something that I always wanted to do. And I looked into nursing and just kind of found that it wasn't really right for me. And I had a family friend, actually, who was a child life specialist in California. And so I met with her and I talked to her a little bit about the field and the job, and I decided that that was exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to work with kids, and I really wanted to be able to play with kids in the hospital and to, you know, help make the environment a little bit less scary. And so this was right up my alley. And so I was living in California at the time, and so I finished college and got my degree in psychology, and I volunteered at a children's hospital in San Francisco. And then I decided to go back to grad school and got my graduate degree in early childhood education with an emphasis in child life. And so I took classes on hospitalized children and medical terminology and children with special needs and got my my background there. And then I actually did two child life internships, both of them in San Francisco at two different hospitals. And so I gathered my experience there. And then right when I graduated from graduate school in May of 2011, I applied here to Diamond Children's in Tucson, and I was offered a job, and so I moved right away and joined the team.
Of all the places in the world you could have applied, why did you apply at Diamond Children's?
Well, Diamond Children's is an amazing hospital. My dad actually lives out here in Tucson, and so I had come to visit him, and he drove me by the Children's Hospital, and, you know, I came inside and just thought it was gorgeous. And so I actually contacted one of the child life specialists who still works here. Her name's Serena, and I set up a shadowing day with her, and so I followed her around all day, and I just really loved the environment here. I loved the staff. I loved the patient population that, you know, Diamond Children served, and it just seemed like such a great hospital and in such a great community that really is supportive of the hospital. And so I really didn't want to work anywhere else, and I'm really excited that I was able to become a part of the team here.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you in the community.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So we've got a couple of seconds left. We got to take a hard break at the bottom for the news. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Amy Rothenberg and Heather Roberts, two child life specialists at the University of Arizona Diamond Children's Center, about how they help children and their families cope with what's got them landed in the Children's Center. So stick around.
President Obama says he's deeply saddened. The president's words in a White House statement after a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan shot and killed 16 Afghan civilians. The soldier, a 38-year-old Army staff sergeant, is in custody and being interrogated. There's new ABC News Washington Post polling taken before today's incident of Americans' attitudes on Afghanistan.
60% of Americans say the war in Afghanistan has not been worth fighting, and just 3 in 10 believe the Afghan public supports the U.S. mission there, marking the sour state of attitudes on the war even before this weekend's incident. Indeed, a majority in this survey, 54%, say the United States should withdraw its forces from Afghanistan without completing its effort to train Afghan forces.
Pollster Gary Langer. Cross-border fighting between Gaza and Israel. Airstrikes in Gaza killed 3 Palestinians, including a boy. The exchange of airstrikes and militant rocket fire touched off by Israel's assassination of a top militant leader. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Jessica Chapin with the KGON 9 On Your Side forecast. A sunny day today. Winds from the east-southeast between 6 and 14 miles per hour, but gusty in the afternoon. Those gusts could get up to 25 miles per hour. Highs between 76 and 82 degrees, and then cooling down tonight between 45 and 50 degrees with clear skies. I'm Jessica Chapin for 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. It's no wonder why the Tucson Festival of Books relies on Arizona Party Rental. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
Hi, this is Andy Brown, Vice President of A-Team Security and Event Services. I've been in the special event business now for 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental. They have the largest selection of equipment, friendliest staff, and they really care about making your event special.
My name is Rebecca Guthrie, and I would highly recommend Arizona Party Rental to anyone who needs anything that has to do with parties or events. They are very friendly and make you feel like family, and that your event is just as important to them as it is to you.
Hey, thanks. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Make Arizona Party Rental your celebration destination. Visit our new showroom on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout Southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Howdy, Tucson.
And we want to remind people, visit us at fredandjeff.com for all sorts of exciting past shows and events, stuff coming up in the community.
Yeah, you know, the funny part about what you just said, Fred, is I've had lots of people come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I just listened to the show the other day where you guys were talking to the folks at the zoo or the parade museum or, you know,
Old Tucson.
I'm like, yeah. They're like, that was great. When was that show? Oh, we recorded that show about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, every show we've done is up on the website.
Right. And so enjoy the past shows. And funny enough, if you've got a show, if you know somebody who is making Tucson a great place to live, let us know. Because we have got, we're not proud enough to think that we know all the people that make Tucson special.
You're not proud enough.
I'm not proud enough. You are proud enough. And so if you know somebody out there that's just doing great things for kids or seniors or their neighborhood, let us know. Send us an email at fred@fredandjeff.com. And we'd love to talk to them and introduce them to you guys.
And that's something that's happening today, because we're introducing this community to some folks who are very valuable, very important. Because, Jeff, this is somebody that you bumped into.
Yeah, these gals are near and dear to my heart, mine and my family's. And so let's kick it off the second half here. We are now talking with Heather Roberts, a child life specialist at UMC's Diamond Children's Center. Heather, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Thanks for asking.
Now, we spent a lot of time with Amy Rothenberg at the beginning of the show, and she's still sticking around. We're going to talk to both of you. But now it's your turn. We're going to put you on the hot seat.
Perfect.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been a child life specialist?
So I have been a child life specialist for 5.5 years, and I have been with the University of Arizona Medical Center and Diamond Children's that whole time. So I started in the infant toddler unit, and now I am working. We no longer have an infant toddler unit now that we're Diamond Children's. Now I'm working in the pediatric intensive care unit and also the outpatient dialysis clinic.
I have to ask you this question.
Sure.
Working in the pediatric intensive care unit has got to be just gut-wrenching sometimes. It's got to be really, really hard. People like you, Heather, you're saints. You really, really are an amazing group of people, because your average person doesn't wake up one day and think, gosh, I want to go and work with sick kids. It's how do you do that? I mean, how did you just decide one day that this is what you wanted to do?
You know, that's funny that you ask that, because we have lots of people that ask us that same question. Mm-hmm. Due to, you know, what we face here at the hospital every day. I guess my transition to child life was during college, and I was doing an internship with the Make-A-Wish Foundation as a wish granter. And one of the little girls that I went to see was at a hospital, and it was a child life specialist that took me to her room. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And you know, I was learning about what her job is in the hospital, what her role is, how she works with the patients and families, and I was so inspired just by listening to her talk that I decided that day that is what I was going to work towards.
That's
and
amazing.
So, yeah, I shaped my curricula during college around the focus that I wanted to become a child life specialist, and then all of us have to do volunteer hours in the hospital as well as an internship that's very extensive, and that's where we learn to do what it is that we're doing now.
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, if I were inspired today to become a child life specialist, I couldn't bring my battleship game and my Sorry and Life game, board games, come down to UMC and just sign up to run around and hang out with kids and play games, could I?
No, but you could sign up to be a volunteer.
Really? Okay, well, tell us about that.
Well, see, that's let's talk about the volunteer thing, but I want to go back just for a second, because when Amy was talking to us, you know, it sounded like you spend a lot of time during the day playing games with kids. And, you know, it's sort of, in some regards, it sounds like a little bit of, you know, glorified babysitter, but it's truly, there's a lot behind all that.
Absolutely. And honestly, most of the play that we end up doing with children here is medical play. So it's focused around actual medical equipment, things that might be new or frightening to the child. We do a lot of teaching with children here in the hospital. And so we have all sorts of different tools that we use with them. We have specific teaching dolls. They're called Zaddy dolls. And those have all of their... they're anatomically correct, basically. You can open them up and look at where all of the organs are placed and some of the bones in the body. And so we use those to teach kids about their body, especially when they're too young to kind of understand what it is that makes us a person and makes us function like we do. So that's a lot of the play that we do with the children revolves around that.
Well, and I want to take a step back. Sure. I was kind of making a joke about my Battleship game and all that kind of stuff, but but truly, how does someone become a child life specialist? What is the process you guys have to go through to get that designation?
So all child life specialists have to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree in a related field. So that field can either be child life or child development, human development, psychology, any of those which sort of relate to the field of child life. They have to have a minimum of 10 classes that are directly related to the field. And then they have to do at least 100 of hours of volunteering under the supervision of a child life specialist. And that is generally in a hospital or an outpatient clinic. And then once that is complete, they're able to apply for internships. And our internships vary greatly, but they all cover the same topics. They have to be at least 480 hours.
Wow.
And so the internship that we actually offer here at Diamond Children's is about 600, and I know there are some that go up to 1,000 hours. And once they have their internship completed, which is where they learn everything about the hospital and they observe child life specialists, and then by the end, basically they're doing the work of a child life specialist. Once the internship is complete, then we sit for our national certification exam, which is offered twice a year through the Child Life Council. And once that is complete, then we become a certified child life specialist.
That's awesome. You said you've been a child life specialist for 5.5 years?
Yes, that's correct.
Have there been big changes over the 5.5 years you've been a child life specialist in the tools that you use to help these kids cope?
Absolutely. So some of the things have remained pretty constant, such as the medical play dolls that we use. We also have these blank cloth dolls that we have children play with, and they can, you know, draw on the dolls and make themselves and, you know, poke the dolls or put bandages on the dolls, do whatever it is that they have had done to themselves, basically.
And when you say poke the doll, you're talking about giving the doll a shot.
Giving
the doll a needle so that you can start an IV.
Absolutely. Yep. These kids have had pokes and IVs and all sorts of lines placed in them that they really have had no control over. So by allowing them to poke the doll or give the shot to a doll or put an IV in a doll, you're giving that control back to the child and allowing them, you know, to become the doctor, to become the nurse, and to gain mastery over their illness and hospitalization.
That's awesome.
And some of the tools that have changed are basically anything related to technology. So right now we have greatly benefited from the use of iPads, and we have put our teaching videos and preparation materials on all of the iPads, as well as different games to distract children either before a procedure or during a procedure if they're going to be awake for it. We can also use them to prepare children to visit in the hospital. So in the ICU in particular, I have a lot of children that look very different from, you know, when they were at home and they were healthy. And so their siblings are often nervous to come in, and rightly so. And so what I'll do, with parents' permission, is to take pictures of the patient and the room and all of the equipment in the room. And I take those pictures on the iPad, and that way I can just show them a slideshow, basically, of what it's going to look like when they enter their brother or sister's room, what all of the machines mean, how they're helping their brother or sister's bodies, et cetera.
That's amazing. Can you share with our listeners and something that I saw that I was just completely blown away with, was using one of those dolls to help a child who has leukemia understand the whole concept of having a port.
Absolutely.
And let me put a little bit more into that.
Mm-hmm.
For those vast majority of people that happily don't know what a port is, when a kid is getting blood drawn or getting chemotherapy or antibiotics put in their system, you guys, the medical profession, you put in a port in their chest.
Well, yeah, let her explain.
Okay, go ahead. You explain this. You explain this, Heather.
Sure. So a port, similar to an IV in that you can give medicine through the port itself, but it's actually underneath the skin. So it's placed during surgery. And basically, when the child comes into the hospital, what they do is they access the port, which means that they put a needle in there, and that way they can administer meds the whole time that they're here. It will last a lot longer than an IV. Most of our kids will have ports for about 3 years, and then they're removed, and they don't have to have one anymore. But
and the key is, how do you explain to a child that this is what's going to happen to you? And so when they wake up from that surgery, they're not completely freaked out that they've got this thing in them.
Right. So, for instance, I was actually the child life specialist on for the weekend, since I work every Sunday. And Larry was first diagnosed, and he was going to get a port.
Right.
So I went in and talked to him about what was going to happen. We have this teaching doll called a Medkin doll. And so basically it has all of the equipment you can set up with it to explain, you know, what a port is, or where your organs are, or what a central line is, or any of the different equipment that we use with children. And so I brought the Medkin doll in, and then I brought blood soup in, which I'll talk about in a minute. And with the Medkin doll, you can place the port underneath the skin of the Medkin doll and show them exactly where it's going to be in their body, what it's going to feel like, what it's going to look like, and all of that. And then we have a separate port and a piece of fake skin that we can use and have the child actually poke the needle into the port to see what that feels like. And what it looks like and everything they're going to experience, basically.
It's amazing. And I have to tell you, being the father of Larry, and when he woke up from that surgery and he looked down at his chest and saw that bump there, that port there,
mm-hmm.
he looked at us and said, I understand now. He you had prepared him enough so that when he woke up, he didn't completely lose it because he had this thing sticking out of his chest. He was so well prepared, it made it a very easy transition, and I thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So we have to take a quick break. We've got a couple bills to pay, and we'll be back in about a minute and a half to finish the show today on the Fred and Jeff Show with our child life specialist, so stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, fivestartermite.com.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway in Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
La Tucson, and we are joined with Heather Roberts, who is a child life specialist for the University of Arizona Diamond Children's Center. Heather, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. I know you guys are real busy today. You're actually on the line with us from the Diamond Children's Center because it's hard to pull you guys away from the good work that you do. So earlier in the show, we were talking about blood soup. Can you, and blood soup is one of the tools that you guys use.
Tasty.
To explain to kids what leukemia is. So can you explain to our listeners how you do that?
Sure. So blood soup is obviously not something that we eat here.
Right.
But blood soup is something that we use to teach kids about leukemia and what it means to have leukemia. Basically, we're making two different bags of blood, and one of them is to represent the healthy blood, and one of them is to represent the blood that has cancer in it. And so what we do is, first you start with the plasma, for instance, that composes most of our blood.
And what do you use for plasma?
And for plasma, we use corn syrup.
Okay.
And then, so generally we'll have the child holds the bag that represents their blood. If there's a sibling, for instance, I think Larry's sister was there when we were doing blood.
She was,
with
yep.
Him. And so we'll generally have them hold the healthy blood so they understand also, you know, what their blood looks like compared to what the blood of a cancer patient looks like. So after the plasma, we put in the red blood cells. And red blood cells make up about 44% of our blood, and they help deliver oxygen to different parts of our body. And so red blood cells are represented by red hots, which are pretty tasty.
Oh, those are our dad's favorite.
Probably not when you put them in corn syrup.
Right.
That makes them tastier.
Yuck.
And then we put white blood cells in. White blood cells are about 0.5% of our blood. And what represents the white blood cells for us is marshmallows.
Mini marshmallows, yeah.
That's right. And so we have the kids put those in the bags. And then the last ingredient for the healthy blood is the platelets. And those help our blood to clot when we get a cut, for instance. And so for that, we usually use rice or sprinkles or something else that's small. And then with the blood that represents the child with leukemia, we have jelly beans or something similar to jelly beans. Usually we do black jelly beans, and that represents the blasts or the cancer cells that are in their blood.
Right.
And then after we do that, we have to add more marshmallows or white blood cells to that bag of blood. Because when a patient has cancer and they have all those blasts in there, the white blood cells multiply to sort of fight off that infection.
And that is a really, really, really amazingly simple way for these kids to understand that they've got something going on. And you've probably seen that aha light go off in hundreds of kids when you do that blood soup.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how difficult it is to explain what blood is made up of and what blood of a leukemic patient looks like without using blood soup. So it's an amazing and pretty easy tool to use with kids of all ages, really.
And it's something that, you know, just about everybody's got in their cupboards at home. So for you guys to be able to take that those simple items and demonstrate what that is just fabulous. So we have a couple minutes left, and we want to do two things. The first thing we want to do is we want to remind people that you guys are child life specialists, and that March is Child Life Specialist Month. So if there was a time when you ever thought about doing something special for kids that you don't know that need help, now's the time. And whether it's
now's
the month. And whether it's volunteering, you know, you go down to the university and volunteer. And we have Amy on the phone with us right now, or Heather.
Hello.
Heather's on the phone.
Amy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Amy, if folks want to volunteer to help you guys, how do they do that?
So if people want to volunteer to help us out, they can go through our volunteer services office. And the person in charge there, her name is Cynthia Bendel.
Okay. And do you have a phone number that folks can call?
I do. So it's 520, of course, and then it's 694-6706.
Great.
And so Cynthia will get them all set up with, getting them trained and getting all of their TB tests and make sure they're healthy to be in the hospital. And then once they're cleared through Cynthia and volunteer services, then they're sent over to all the child life specialists and we, train them to be on the units, and then they get to play with kids and hang out and do all that good stuff.
That's great.
And now say that phone number one more time real slow.
Sure, of course. It's 694-6706.
Great. And the other thing folks can do is bring down some toys. Bring down some toys, because you guys have kind of got a toy depository there that the kids that have to spend time get to go through and play.
Yes, we do. So, like I said before, all of our floors do have playrooms, and so we have tons of toys in there. We do use toys for things like birthday celebrations, when kids have to celebrate their birthday while they're here in the hospital. When kids have hard procedures, sometimes they do receive a prize afterwards. And then end of chemo celebrations as well. So we use toys for lots of different things. And I cannot tell you how much we love getting toy donations from the community and how much we appreciate those toys. Couldn't do it without the community.
Are there specific type of toys?
Yeah, more popular?
So we actually need toys for infants and toddlers, and then for teenagers as well. Those are kind of the age groups that we have a difficult time getting stuff for. So we're kind of looking for that, but, all ages is great. We can accept used toys, but they do have to be wipeable, so all plastic. And then anything new, we love. Stuffed animals, we love having. We can't, unfortunately, accept used stuffed animals. Anything new, and then anything plastic that's used.
Great. And then lastly, there's a big fundraiser. There's a fundraiser for the Child Life Specialists, and it's on March 23rd at Tucson Country Club. 6 o'clock cocktails, 7 o'clock dinner, and then DJ and dancing. And for more information or to RSVP, folks can call 694-1196. It's a big fundraiser. We hope to raise a lot of money to support you guys, because, one of the things that folks don't realize is when they walk into a hospital, they think that everything's paid for by insurance, and it's not. Your guys' salaries are not paid by Blue Cross or Health Net or United. You guys are being supported by the University of Arizona Foundation or the Women and Children's Groups. So if you want to make a donation to help make sure that they're child life specialists for our community, 694-1196. Amy, is there anything else you've got to say? Because we've got about a minute left.
I just want to thank you guys for talking about child life on your radio show. I cannot tell you how many times I have to explain what I do for, for my career. And so it's so great to get the word out there and to introduce child life to Tucson and to get everybody involved in supporting our kids here at the hospital.
Well, we really appreciate you. And we have a little bit of house cleaning. So the first person who emails me at fred@fredandjeff.com and tells me what flavorful candy represents the leukemia cells in blood soup, will get a dozen roses from Mayfield Florist.
Jelly beans.
Specific kind of jelly
beans. Oh, black jelly beans. I always give the answer away because Fred picks some random question. But folks, Amy, you and Heather are two of the reasons, and all the girls that work with you guys, all the folks that work with you guys, are the reasons that living in Tucson, Southern Arizona, is a phenomenal, phenomenal place. Thanks for what you do. Keep up the good work, because God knows, without you guys, a lot of us would be in deep kimchi. So take care, and folks, please support the Child Life Specialists, and go to fredandjeff.com to get the information if you missed it on the show, and we'll see you next week.